Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Yeah, Trump will spend the rest of his life in jail. Is my position, and my story, I'm sticking to it, is one way or the other. It may take a while, just as it's already taken a while. He's going to end up spending the rest of his life in jail.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our new show, George Conway Explains It All to Sarah. You guys asked, you said you wanted more of this, so we're going to deliver. We're going to make this a regular thing. And just to start, okay, George, you were there yesterday, right? You went
to
this.
I'm wearing a hat, but yes,
we're both wearing hats today because we're doing this.
Did you guys see the hat?
Make attorneys get attorneys.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody sees the hat.
Okay, so listen, so you were at the trial yesterday, and I want to hear like how you got into the room, but before you do that, I need you to explain to me, because I had to have somebody else explain this to me. This immunity case is part of the Jack Smith
Correct.
January 6th case.
Correct.
And they had a trial in front of a single judge.
No trial.
No. Okay, wait. Explain to me how we got to the Court of Appeals.
Okay, here's how it goes. In the federal system and in state systems, I mean, basically there is a trial court that where people get indicted and they go to trial. If they ask for a jury or if the government asks for a jury, they get a jury and it's presided over by a single judge. And then there's a judgment of conviction. If there's a judgment of conviction, then that gets appealed to an appellate court. In the federal system, you go to the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. And that's where Judge Chutkan sits. And the trial in his case, the election interference case brought by Jack Smith, is scheduled to begin on March 4th. I guess that would be the day that jury selection would begin. But right now, it stayed. And the reason why it stayed is because Trump made a motion to dismiss on grounds that he is immune from prosecution since the acts that he committed, he claims, were official acts. And he also claims that the President of the United States cannot be prosecuted even after he leaves office for official acts, which got him into a little trouble yesterday. So he made that motion to dismiss along with another argument based on something called the impeachment judgment clause. He lost before Judge Chutkan, who wrote a very nice 60 or 70, I don't know how long. It was a long opinion. And then he appealed that order. And the court obliged by expediting the case so that oral arguments were held yesterday.
And can I just ask, was this the one that Jack Smith wanted to go to the Supreme Court to take up to make a really
Correct.
Fast ruling? And they declined, right? And they kicked it back to this Court
declined.
Of Appeals.
Right. There is a procedure that's only used very rarely, whereby if a case has been appealed to a United States Court of Appeals, any party to that appeal, whether or not they're challenging the district court judgment or not, can file a petition for a writ of certiorari before judgment, telling the Supreme Court this case is already on appeal, but for various reasons, because it's important to the country, you need to resolve it now, and just basically take the case out of the Court of Appeals and put it on your docket and hear it and decide it. The court did not do so here, and I think people mistakenly, their first reaction, and I really went out on the airwaves to try to push against it, thought, oh no, it's a disaster, this case, Jack Smith is going to lose, it's terrible, the court's not taking him seriously, and this case is never going to get tried. And the answer was to that is poppycock, there's that word again, because he bleeped me when I used the other word I used. And so
it's a show for children.
This is a show for children, 5-year-olds who want to understand the law. I get it. So basically, what the reason why they probably the reason why they didn't take it is because they saw that, oh, the D.C. Circuit, the U.S. Court of Appeals, the court that heard the case yesterday, is moving really, really fast. Let's see what they do.
All right. So let's bring us to yesterday, which is so you're in the D.C. Circuit Court. And to hear these oral arguments, first of all, how'd you get in? Is it like waiting to get to into a Grateful Dead show? Do you have to camp out the night before?
Well, in the Court of Appeals, they used a small courtroom yesterday. It wasn't that big as far as courtrooms go. There's a much, much bigger courtroom there for ceremonial and en banc events. And there were two lines on the fifth floor where the courtroom was. And at that point, it became clear that not everybody was going to get in because it's pretty small. And they only took 10 journalists in the press line. I was in the unwashed line, which was much longer, and I was 15th or so. And they let in about 20. So it was if I had gotten the press credential, I would have been sent to the overflow room where they have a closed-circuit TV feed. I probably would have been able to hear things and see things a little bit better, on the TV. But it was much more fun to be in the courtroom, even though I only got to see the back of the orange guy's head.
Okay, so he couldn't see you. You know what, though? I'm sure he felt your presence.
Well, he would if he. I was trying to do my best, with using force lightning, but it didn't. No, I mean he would have. Yeah, he would not have been happy to see me because he now knows that I was the guy who found Jean Carroll a lawyer, among other things. So he was very upset about that.
I think he knows you on several fronts. Okay, yeah. So I read your Atlantic piece, but why don't you just give us a rundown of what was the main argument that Trump's lawyer was trying to make to these judges about why he deserves presidential immunity?
Yeah, I mean, there were two arguments that he was making. One was that the president is, as a matter of the separation of powers and the inherent nature of the Constitution and structural guarantees under Article 2 to protect the presidency's ability to function, there is an absolute presidential immunity from criminal prosecution. And the legal authority they cite for that is a long line of cases in the civil realm. And those civil cases hold that, well, the president is unique among public officials in that the things that he does affect the entire country frequently, if not the entire world. And if we were to hold him civilly liable for doing things that may be incorrect or illegal or, for any kind of screw up that he might make, he could be subjected to these massive claims for damages from everyone, in the United States or everyone in the world, and it'd be a huge humongous class action, and it would be terrible because the president's going to always be thinking not about whether he's doing the best thing for the country. He's going to consider, I could be bankrupted here. And so essentially the Supreme Court on that basis held that there is an absolute civil immunity for the president for damages liability for actions taken by the president, quote, within the outer perimeter of his official responsibility, close away. And it's very, very broad. It's basically anything the president is supposed to do and it's connected to that, that should be covered. The second argument that he makes is a much, much weaker argument. Not that the first argument was strong. And the next argument he makes is based upon a provision in Article 1, a Section 3 that deals with impeachment and the judgments that Congress can issue in impeachments. And the second part of the impeachment judgment clause is the part that Trump and his lawyers were relying on. And that clause basically says, in words of pretty simple language, that if somebody is tried and convicted in the Senate and removed, they can still be prosecuted in the ordinary course in the courts of law. They can be indicted and sent to jail after the impeachment trial. But anyway, what happened yesterday is they brought both of those arguments up. The argument that he is absolutely immune from civil liability, and then the argument that the impeachment judgment clause, by negative inference, prohibits him from being indicted because he was charged and not convicted in the Senate. And what happened was those two arguments are in great tension with each other. I mean, there were two things that I think we all saw, or many people here following along, and you could read about it in my Atlantic piece, how an old friend of mine, actually, Judge Florence Pan, who I met 30 years ago, she was a summer associate at my old law firm, a very smart woman, just unbelievably smart.
It was clear from your piece you really liked this woman. She was good.
She is fabulous, and if Biden puts her on the Supreme Court, man, that would be, you know, he would be doing himself a big favor. And I there's a good chance that might happen. I don't know.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Yeah, okay, so explain to me what you heard yesterday.
Here's what happened. D. John Sauer, who is Trump's lawyer, he had a very, very gravelly voice. He's from Missouri, but he talked like a New Yorker otherwise. He's a graduate of Harvard Law School, a former clerk to Judge Luttig, a former clerk to Justice Scalia, and he was appointed to be Solicitor General of the state of Missouri by one then Attorney General, Josh Hawley. So, you know, he's got a red hat of a different sort, and the bad red hats, yes. And so he said, I'm going to go to the merits now, and he said, you'd be opening a Pandora's box, he said, if you allow President Trump to be prosecuted here. And he gave a couple of examples, and this is what we call in the law the parade of horribles. When you're just saying, oh, if you rule against my client, then look at the bad things that would happen. And the bad things that would happen, he said, for example, George W. Bush could be prosecuted. Let's leave apart the statute of limitations. He could be prosecuted for having lied to Congress to get us into war. Barack Obama could be prosecuted for ordering drone strikes that killed American citizens abroad. And at that point, Judge Pan just cut him off right there. He didn't even get a chance to finish his argument at that point. He said, well, let me explore the implications of your argument. And she posed a couple of, it's about three hypotheticals. One is, what if the president sold nuclear secrets to a foreign power? What if the president sold pardons and personally profited? And the third one, which is the one that got the most attention, is what if the president ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival?
Could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? That's an official act in order to SEAL Team 6.
Is it your contention that the president is absolutely immune from those actions? And under his absolute immunity argument, the answer is yes, because... I mean, he could fence about whether these were official acts, but issuing a pardon is an official act. Talking to foreign countries is an official act. Selling goes a little beyond that, but he's in the normal course of, broad reading of his official responsibility. He's entitled to give information to foreign leaders. He's the commander-in-chief of the military. He can order SEAL Team 6, as President Obama did, to take out Osama bin Laden. And the question is, well, that's, you issue an order, and this is the point that Judge Pan made, you issue an order, President issues an order to SEAL Team 6, that's official conduct, regardless of who he's sending them to go after. So the response that John Sauer gave on behalf of Trump was wishy-washy. He didn't want to say yes. They're all, those actions are all immune, because that's just an incredibly stark position. And at the same time, he was also taking this screwball position that I mentioned before about the impeachment judgment clause that says, which actually does say, actually, his position was that negative implication, but the impeachment judgment clause actually does say that people can be prosecuted after they're thrown out of office. And so he took that part of what the impeachment judgment clause said, which actually is contradictory to the entire notion of presidential immunity, because, well, if presidents were immune, you wouldn't say he could, a president or any public, a public official may, could be prosecuted after being impeached and convicted. At least you would have said, except for the president, if you thought the presidents were immune from criminal prosecution for their official acts. So she starts drilling in on the tension between there. She's trying to get him to say, you're saying this is absolutely immune. This is Judge Pan. And he's fighting that and saying, well, in the SEAL Team 6 situation, the president would be undoubtedly he'd be impeached and convicted.
He would have to be and would speedily be, you know, impeached and convicted before the criminal prosecution.
Ergo, he could be then prosecuted.
I don't know if you met the Senate, this Republican Senate.
Well, we'll set that aside. And then Pan kept saying, okay, well, leave aside, suppose that he is not impeached and removed. And there are a lot of reasons why presidents are not removed, or impeached or removed. It could be one, the politics don't allow it, which is what happened twice with Donald Trump. A second could be that the evidence doesn't come out until after the president leaves office in the ordinary course. A third reason could be the president resigns before he is impeached and convicted, like a la Richard Nixon. So let's say the president, the hypotheticals here, and I think they did kind of get into this later in the argument. I mean, the president could decide, on Trump's argument, taken at face value, if a president decided to order SEAL Team 6 to kill Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, President Trump does this, and all the Democratic members of the Congress, or whoever he doesn't like, George Conway, Sarah Longwell, whoever, we're all, it's the night of the long knives, suppose he does that. And then he resigns before anybody has a chance to impeach him, which couldn't happen anyway since he's killed half of the Congress, then there would be no basis to prosecute him, because he'd be immune. And the exception under the impeachment judgment clause that Trump allows would not apply. So it's completely insane. But anyway, what Judge Pan did quite brilliantly was trying to pin him down on, she finally got a clear answer after like several go-arounds. And this is one thing you never do in an appellate court. When you're asked a question and you have to make a concession, don't fight it. You say, yes, Your Honor, that is correct, right? When they're asking you yes or no questions, you don't say it depends or no, but you just say, you say yes. But I wouldn't, you separately make the point that you want to make. It's just very annoying to the courts, and you just end up wasting time doing that. But anyway, what she pointed out was, okay, your position that he's absolutely immune, presumes that he's absolutely immune. He can't be prosecuted for anything. On the other hand, you're admitting that he can be prosecuted under the impeachment judgment clause. And there was an additional tension, which is the reason that Sauer kept saying that we need absolute presidential immunity was because of the fear of political prosecutions, which of course is ironic because the one guy who actually wants to prosecute people for their political activities is Donald Trump, but let's set that aside. And so to have pureness in the criminal justice realm as it applies to president, you can't prosecute them because you can't have that. Then he's arguing, but you can prosecute the president if Congress says, and Congress is kind of a political body, last I checked, you can prosecute the president if Congress says so. I mean, the two positions cannot be reconciled. And Judge Pan brought that out. And it was just, when you see somebody taken apart like that in court, you know they are going to lose. And that's exactly what happened. He was just, Sauer was completely dismantled. And he was trying to fight it, but there was just the inexorable logic. Judge Pan just kept drilling in on it. I mean, it just became clear that his position made absolutely no sense. And the ultimate, and what she was doing there was highlighting the complete tension between his one argument. Both arguments were weak arguments, and when you conflate weak arguments in a court of appeals or the Supreme Court, you just get destroyed. And that's exactly what happened here. His one argument says, we need absolute immunity. His other argument says, there is no absolute immunity. and the two don't mix, but he was conflating them, and in so doing, he set a trap for himself, and Judge Pan just, with great intellectual nimbleness, just picked them apart.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Yeah, you said this guy's like a really smart lawyer. Did he not? I mean,
he's a very articulate lawyer. I don't particularly like his style, although, I mean, I shouldn't talk because I talk fast. His way of trying to, he tried to steamroll the judges into, by basically just the wall of words technique. You know, he wouldn't answer Judge Pan's questions directly, and then he'd start mumbling on about Marbury against Madison and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't that effective. I think the real problem is that he had bad arguments, and I think his choice of arguments, I mean, look, he was going to lose this case anyway. He is a smart guy, but sometimes when you are litigators, very smart litigators, sometimes get tunnel vision. And it's like you don't realize the flaws in your position, and sometimes you end up leaving an exposed flank. And I think that's partly what happened here, because they had this terrible argument. I don't know who cooked it up, that they presented it in the district court. Maybe it was Sauer himself, maybe it was somebody else. And they became so enamored of it that they wouldn't let it go.
All right, just before we wrap up here, just tell me what's going to happen next. What's the next move here?
All right, what's going to happen next in this case is that you're going to get, I think, a really solid opinion affirming Judge Chutkan. And that will, I think, then force Trump to try to go to the en banc D.C. Circuit, which I think will be a failure, and immediately go to the Supreme Court. And then the question will be to the Supreme Court, are you going to take this one too, like you took the Colorado case? I think in this situation, there is a decent chance that people have been, I think people were underestimating, but I think now, I think people are starting to see this is how it could play out, where the court says, oh, that's a good opinion by the Court of Appeals, and let's just let it stand, cert denied. And if that happens, this case is going to trial on March 4th. And
which, by the way, is the day before Super Tuesday. Just so people know the calendar of this.
I know. It's like what I want somebody to do. I mean, Just Security, you know them. They have this master calendar that they revise every day that you can pull up on your screen. I want one that goes straight into my calendar on my iPhone.
Oh, we've got that. Well, I'll have the guys. I'll have the guys load you up.
Yeah, you could. I think you could charge for that. You know, you could charge for that. Yeah. You're going to need the money when we have to all go into exile.
Yeah.
To avoid being sent to Guantanamo. by SEAL Team 6 if they let us live.
Yeah, I hear Malta's nice.
I met a diplomat from Malta a few months ago.
I hope that they're going to let us in. You're going to get me in, right?
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. Yeah, Malta would be great. Remember see Patton where they go? He's going around and he's in Malta. And, anyway.
Last question, and then we got to get out of here. If the Supreme Court were to give him immunity, let's just say you are, I'm sure this could never happen. Let's say you're incorrect. Supreme Court gives him immunity. Is he immune in all the cases? That are current, the 91 indictments that are out there?
He would be immune in this case before Judge Chutkan. He would be immune in the Georgia case. He would not be immune in the, I don't think he would be immune in the hush money case in New York. I'm sure he wouldn't be immune. And what's the other criminal case? There's so many
crimes. The documents.
The document case. I don't think he would be immune for the obstruction of justice that occurred because he was no longer president there. He might be immune from having taken the documents with him because he was president when he got on the plane. He could be prosecuted for the obstruction of justice because that happened after he was in office. Yeah, Trump will spend the rest of his life in jail. Is my position, and my story, I'm sticking to it, is one way or the other. It may take a while, just as it's already taken a while. He's going to end up spending the rest of his life in jail.
George Conway, thank you for explaining it all to Sarah. This is great. We're going to do it again next week. Thanks to all of you. Okay. We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Don't do it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.